Do you ever have a day where you just feel so irritated that every little thing that happens just makes you that much more annoyed and that much irritated? Yeah, every once in a while. I had one of those. I actually had a couple of those a couple weeks ago before I went on vacation. I was feeling so overwhelmed and so burnt out that I was being so crabby. And you know what? The problem really wasn't about how much I had to do or about what it was that I had to do. The problem was about the story that I had running in my head about how I was due for vacation a month ago and didn't get to take it, and about how crabby I was about that, how much I needed a break from my responsibility, and that ongoing story that I kept telling myself in my head, how unfair it was and rah, 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 that I did. And as a result of that ongoing story that I had, what happened is every little thing was getting under my skin, especially those people who insist upon talking about politics and presidential candidates who are opposing to the way that I see things, who are just driving me crazy. So what research shows though is that stress response that we have, and that stress response that we have in our bodies of high blood pressure and hormones, cortisol dumping into our system, and high blood pressure and muscle tension and all those different things, suppressed immune system that we experience, is not a result of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It is actually not even a result of our thinking, but that stress response is a result of the emotional response that we are having to our thoughts about what is going on in our life. So that means the anger or the frustration or the irritation or the fear, whatever of those negative kind of feelings that we're having, that's what causes the stress response in our bodies. And I know that every single one of us, including me, would much rather experience peace. I would much rather experience peace in my body and in my mind. I'd much rather move through my days with a sense of well-being and a sense of ease rather than angst. That is certainly my preference. And then, so what do we do? What do we do about that? I think the first, very first thing as that foundation is we remember and remind ourselves that we live in this infinite potentiality, that we live in this field of infinite potentiality where all things are available to us all of the time, that we live in this boundless good that is the presence of the infinite. And that means then if we know that that is the truth and that is the foundation of life, then it's not that peace isn't available. It's not that well-being isn't available. That is present in that presence right where we are. All that we desire and want to experience is already present in that infinite one, in that presence that we live in. And so Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook says, "We are dealing with an infinite power which knows only its ability to do. And since it can objectify any ideas impressed upon it, there can be no limit to what it can or would do for us other than the limit of our inward embodiment." That's what Carol was talking about this morning, the embodiment of that idea. Limitation is not in principle nor in law, but only in the individual use we make of that principle. So that means the principle of love is always present. The principle of peace is always present, but it's whether we are open to it, whether we embody it, whether we bring it forward. It's the use of the principle that creates the circumstances of our lives. And so then if that is the very foundation that we know that everything is available to us, then the second thing to do is to practice mindfulness. And so mindfulness is defined as paying attention in a particular way. That particular way is paying attention on purpose paying attention to what's going on, to be in the present moment non-judgmentally. It is bringing one's complete attention to the present experience on a moment-to-moment basis. Mindfulness is the ability to notice that you are noticing. And so we also call that witness consciousness, the witness that is observing the fact that we are observing. And so there are two parts then to mindfulness, or to the observer, or to that witness consciousness. And one of them is purposely being present in the exact moment that you are in, noticing what is immediately around you in that moment, to notice your bodily sensations. That means if you're walking, to notice, I'm taking a step. Oh, I'm taking a step. Oh, I'm taking a step. As you're walking outside, to notice the sun on your skin and what that feels like. To notice the beautiful flowers that you walk by. To be fully present with what's going on right around you. But the second part of that is about being present to what's going on inside of you. But first, I want to share with you a story that I read this week that I thought you would like, that really depicts that being present to what is going on around us. It's called On the Roof of the Hotel. It says, trying to tan in the buff may be the stuff of private dreams, but location is everything. An ardent traveler named Joan spent most of her vacation sunbathing on the roof of her hotel. She wore a swimsuit the first day, but on the second, she decided that no one could see her way up there, and she slipped out of it for an overall tan. She'd hardly started when she heard someone running up the stairs. Joan was lying on her stomach, so she pulled a towel over her rear. "Excuse me, miss," said the flustered hotel manager, out of breath from dashing up the stairs. "The hotel doesn't mind you sunbathing on the roof, but we would very much appreciate you wearing a bathing suit as you did yesterday." She said, "What difference does it make?" She said very calmly, "No one can see me up here. Besides, I'm covered with a towel." He says, "Not exactly," says the manager. "You are lying on the dining room skylight." That is not paying attention to your surroundings. So that second part, you pay attention to your surroundings, what's in the precise moment. And the second one is being aware of your thoughts and your feelings in that moment. That means not dragging the past into this moment or bringing the future into this moment, but really being present with what is. So if you're walking down the street, that means being present to your gratitude that you feel for the sun shining on your face, or the gratitude that you feel for just being alive and having the opportunity to walk down the street. Or it's also being present to the fact that you're irritated because the driver cut you off in front of you. So it's not just being present to the positive emotions, but it's being present to all of them, to what am I feeling in this moment. And the second thing is that witness consciousness means observing our thoughts and our emotions from a distance. It's as if that witness is back here witnessing what you are thinking and what you are feeling. It's as if we are separated from our thoughts and our feelings, above them or outside of them, witnessing ourself feeling them or thinking them. Because when we aren't outside of them, you all know what happens, we get run by them. They run what it is that we're doing. And the title of my talk today is The Witness, and I'm talking about that kind of witness consciousness. I'm talking about having the observer out to witness your thoughts and your feelings, and about living mindfully. So that means that a couple weeks ago when I was having that experience, for me to notice, oh, I'm in a negative mood, to observe that from the outside. Oh, I'm feeling annoyed or short-tempered, because when I can recognize that it's in me, then it's no longer really about them and what they're doing out there. That's like Ray tells us, he knows what kind of mood he's in by who he sees when he goes to the mall. If everybody's really beautiful, or is all he sees is ugly people. It's what's going on in here. So the witness witnesses, oh, I'm in a crabby mood today, I'm annoyed. Or I'm happy, or whatever it is that you're feeling, but from the outside. Because the thing is, it's only when we observe them from the outside that we can choose something different. When we're being run by them, we don't even know that we're separate from them. They think that's just who we are. This is just how life is. This is just what happens. We don't realize that we, who we are, is separate from those feelings and those thoughts. That gives us the ability to choose. So say, for an example, that you're walking down the street in New York City, and it's really crowded, and people are really rushing around and moving fast down the sidewalk, and people are accidentally bumping into you. You can get irritated by the fact that people are bumping into you, and you can notice your irritation. You can put all of your focus on your irritation, and then what happens? You just get more annoyed and feel crabbier and madder, and it builds and builds and builds. But with that observer and with recognizing that you can make a choice, you could actually shift your focus. You could, instead of focusing on that, you could focus on the incredible architecture of New York City. You could focus on the wild styles of clothing that people are wearing. You could focus on the individual faces of the people that are coming towards you. You could focus on a myriad of things instead of the fact that people are bumping into you. But it takes observing that you're having that reaction from a distance to be able to choose something different. So with mindfulness, what happens, though, is we can check in with ourselves and notice what we're feeling and then ask ourselves, is what I'm feeling empowering or disempowering? Is what I am feeling expansive or is it contracting? Is it raising me up or is it pulling me down? Mindfulness is noticing what we're thinking and feeling without judgment on it. It's not about making ourselves wrong or bad or good. It's about noticing it without judgment. Then we get to choose if we want to feel or experience this or something else. Like I said, we can notice and focus on the people bumping into us or the sun on our face. It's our choice then. Because what we focus on creates what we're thinking, and what we're thinking creates our emotions, and that creates our experience. That is the thing that shapes our experience. So in Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes also says, that which is back of everything must be good, must be complete, must be love and harmony. When we are out of harmony with some special good, in this instance we're talking about peace, it is because we are off track along a particular line of the activity of spirit. But how are we to regain this lost paradise? Only through soul culture and by careful analysis. Only through soul culture, taking care of ourselves, and through self-analysis, looking within. What's going on inside of me? What is going on in my consciousness right now that's creating this inner experience that I'm having? That allows us to take responsibility and to change it. So if peace and harmony and love and good are already present and we're not experiencing it, we look inside. We ask ourselves, what's the story that I'm telling myself? What is it that I'm noticing? What is it that I'm focusing on? Am I really in this present moment, or am I thinking about something that happened a while ago? Am I dragging the past and ruminating on how terrible something was that went on? And I know oftentimes we are dragging the past into this moment. Oftentimes we are doing that. Whether we're talking about 15 minutes ago or an hour ago, or, you know, we've all done this, the fight that you had with your spouse last night and you're still crabby about it today. That isn't being in this present moment. That's not mindfulness. But paying attention using mindfulness, oh, I'm still stuck in yesterday, allows you to choose. I could be on this beautiful walk with these beautiful flowers and the sun and be here instead of in my mind and in the past. And worrying about the future, oh my goodness, what if I don't get that promotion? Or what if this vacation doesn't work out? Or whatever we do running in the future. Both of those things keep us from experiencing the present moment. So the problem is that without mindfulness, we don't know we're at choice. We get so entangled in our thoughts and our feelings that we don't even know that we're separate from them. Without mindfulness, we just do our days on autopilot, reacting like we've always reacted, doing the same things that we've always done, not knowing that we're at choice. And so where do we begin then? I think we begin by choosing to be mindful. We begin by noticing that we're noticing. We begin by noticing that we're alive. Can you feel that you're alive in this moment? You notice that? Do you notice that you're noticing that? That's where we start. So let's do that for a minute. So without closing your eyes, keep your eyes open, but take a deep breath and notice that you're breathing. Feel the air flowing through your nostrils and going down into your belly and then rising back out of your body. Next, notice that you're noticing. Notice that you have that faculty, just like you have the faculty of hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting. You have the faculty to notice. And now, notice the tip of your nose. And your right index finger. And your left kneecap. And the bottom of your right foot. And the tips of all 10 toes. Your cheeks. Your chin. The top of your head. Notice how you're feeling. And notice what you're thinking, if you're thinking anything. Notice your noticing. That's how you practice mindfulness. That's how you start, just by being aware of all the little nuances. You know, many times in classes we've done walking meditations where you notice, no commentary, just noticing your steps, noticing what's around you. I invite you to do that. It's really delightful and really brings you into the present moment. So we begin by choosing to be mindful, by choosing to be present, by noticing, by observing our thoughts and our feelings. And Jack Kornfield says, mindfulness does not reject the experience. It lets the experience be the teacher. So when we notice that we're experiencing something that we don't want to experience, that becomes the teacher that tells us we can choose something else. And then we choose something else, and that teaches us that we have the power to change our thinking, to change our feeling, to change the direction of our lives, to change what we're doing. It becomes the teacher for us. So when we're mindful, those reactions that we have, the thoughts and feelings, become our teacher, and they become a catalyst for our growth, for our development, for developing those human potentials we have within us, like courage. Oh, I'm afraid. I can choose instead to be courageous, to develop those capacities like love and compassion. Wow, I'm judging all these people around me, and you know, that isn't really the path that I'm walking, so I'm going to choose something different. I'm going to choose to see through the heart of compassion, choose to see through the eyes of connection or of love. It allows us to choose because being mindful creates some space between those thoughts and what's going on, and that puts us in a place of power. That's how we get to create the lives that we want to create. And so we have that awareness, and then that brings with it that calmness. And so I had an experience those last couple weeks where I totally got my buttons pushed. Someone said something to me that hurt my feelings and that made me angry, and I had a big reaction and was really upset. And the most fascinating thing happened. In the middle of my upset, I witnessed myself being upset. And I said in my head, you know, Jennifer, you can choose to react like this, or you can choose something else. I could choose to be hurt and upset and angry, or I didn't have to have that reaction if I didn't want to. I could choose to shift my focus. I could choose to be in this moment. I could choose forgiveness. I could choose to ask myself, is this really important? There's all sorts of choices besides the one that I was having. And so then comes the hard part, though. We witness that we're having this experience. The hard part then is actually choosing something different, because those ways of being are so darn entrenched. Then the hard part, okay, I'm going to step over here and choose to do this instead. That's where the spiritual practice comes in. But mindfulness gives us the space to make a different choice. And so as we choose thoughts and feelings and actions that are expansive, that are empowering, we change our life. We change life around us, because every time we choose, it impacts people around us. When we live with mindfulness, we have the ability to take responsibility for our lives. We aren't a victim anymore. We are at choice. It's not what they are doing to us. We get to choose. We are in a place of power to create our lives. We get to choose our actions and our reactions, and that develops that potential that has been untapped within us. And so my invitation to you then this week is to begin by remembering and by knowing and by standing on that foundation that you always live in this infinite principle. You live in this infinite presence that contains within itself all good things. All the love, all the peace, all the joy, all the good is present in this infinite presence of the divine that fills your life, right where you stand all the time. To know that you live in that field of pure potentiality. To know that everything is available to you. All the love and peace and good. That's the foundation you stand on. And then to be present in the moment where you are. To be present with yourself. Observing yourself. Observing your thoughts and feelings so that you can be at choice. To be a witness and present, because in the present moment is where joy lies. You can't be in joy in the future, in the past. It's only here. And the most remarkable thing is, if you're just present in the moment, joy automatically happens. It's amazing. So observe your situation. Observe what's around you. Observe yourself. Just notice with a non-judgmental mind. Notice your thoughts and your feelings without judgment. Then you become the master of your own ship, the master of your own life. Then you are always at choice. Then you are present to the magnificence that is always right where we stand. And so blessings to each of you as you consciously walk this path of spirit, as you consciously create your best life out of your choices and out of your intentions and out of where you place your attention. So blessings to all of you. Thank you. And so I invite you to join me in a prayer right now, in an affirmative prayer, that which we call spiritual mind treatment. And so how good it is just to be called to this moment of prayer, to turn my attention and my focus once again to the truth that here I am in this infinite presence of this most divine one, that presence that is so magnificent, that is all power and all good and all glory, that presence from which everything in this entire universe pours forth. And so I recognize that this presence is infinite potential, that it is boundless good, that it is creativity itself, that it is the very essence and fabric and energy of love, that it is the presence of peace, that it is joy unlimited, and that this is our divine right inheritance, that we live and move and have our being within this presence, this infinite realm of the divine, this invisible realm that permeates all things. Here, we walk in the divine. And not just do we walk in it, not just does it fill our lives to overflowing, not just is it everywhere we go in everything we do, but it also resides right within us, that it is the very core and essence of our spirit, of our soul, that we are incarnations of this infinite one here in human form, bringing the divine into this world in our own most unique and beautiful way. And so I recognize and know that all of that presence is available to us at every single moment. And so today, as we walk this path of life, which is a path of the divine, we bring that presence forward through our heart and through our actions and through our words in a way that benefits all of those around us. That we are indeed a beneficial presence in the world. We withdraw our attention from that which does not serve the world, that does not serve humanity and the good for all, because what we put our attention on is what grows. And so we claim and make a stand for good in this world, and for love, and for connection, and for unity, and oneness, and peace. And so I know that love is the ultimate cause in this universe, and that the love that God is unfolding itself right now, pouring itself out in and through humanity. That there is a healing going on in this country and on this planet today, that as we stand in this presence, it dissipates all that is unlike truth, all that is unlike love. That today we recognize that presence. And I know that wholeness and healing and peace are the ground of this presence, and that is what is occurring right now. That is what is growing and expanding. And so we hold tight to this truth, to this claim, knowing that regardless of situations and circumstances that may be happening this moment, that that presence is still here and active and unfolding itself. And so we just act as that light here, as our own human self, uniquely here. And so I give thanks for this truth. I give thanks for my awareness and for each of our awareness and our ability to bring this into the world. And so I give thanks for this, knowing that it's not just true for us, but that presence is everywhere in this universe right now, unfolding itself as insight and realizations and truth and oneness. And so I say thank you, God, for all of this. And I release this prayer and I let it be. I say thank you, God, and so it is.